Adam Hogue covers the Bears beat for us here on WGN Radio. And I think he's over there. Hey, Adam, this is John. Are you on? Yeah, I don't hear you. I'm going to put him. Now I can't put him on because he's not on.
Maybe he's busy.
Well, I know, but he just got done with that Bears press conference, and he was going to hop on with us on one of these switches here, and now he's not up on the switch. I have him call in, Ella.
You want to talk Bears to me?
Okay. And now covering the Bears, Violetta Podramedic. Violetta, what do you make of what sort of offense are we going to see from the Bears with this new coach?
It's a new team. It's a new year. We have a new coach, and we're looking up. Yeah. We're going to start winning.
It's I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Thank you, Violetta.
Now more from Adam Hogue.
Violetta said that we're going to start winning and things are looking up, Adam Hogue. Do you agree with that?
Very, very optimistic and kind of hard to believe for the Chicago Bears. Hey, I will say this. It's hard to lose a press conference, but I think Matt Nagy won his today. Especially following John Fox, that wouldn't have been really hard to do. But enthusiastic, passionate, I can see why he clicked with Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. They're both young, talk about football the same way, seem to be high character guys. So, you know, from today's standpoint, it's a press conference, not a football game, obviously, but a win for the Bears.
That's kind of what Kevin Powell said. So he and I were listening to it. We were all listening to it. We carried it here on the radio station. And Kevin said, wow, we now know more about this guy than we do John Fox, or at least we like him better. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know if he has a pet monkey like we learned from John Fox a couple weeks ago. It took 3 years to get that out of him. Look, here's what I liked about Matt Nagy, my favorite part of today's press conference, I think, and if you're a Bears fan, you had to feel good about it. Saturday night, the Chiefs lose to the Titans. A lot of questions in that game about the play calling in the second half, specifically when they didn't run the ball a whole lot with an 18-point lead. Matt Nagy owned that today. I asked him directly, were you the one calling the plays? Because there seemed to be some confusion about that on Saturday, and he said, I called every single play in the second half. He used the word failure to describe his own handling of that situation on Saturday night, and then he owned it, said he's going to learn from it, promised that he would learn from it. And apparently that's exactly what he told Ryan Pace when he met with Pace the following morning, right after this game. And Ryan Pace loved that too. He owned it, and you got to like that. I mean, I don't think John Fox did that in the previous three
years. Yeah, but here's what I would like better. You more intelligently manage the clock and you win the game.
Well, that's fair. That's completely fair. But I will say, you know, Kyle Shanahan had the same problem in the Super Bowl last year when the Falcons lost to the Patriots, and he went out in San Francisco this year, and things are looking up with the 49ers. So I don't think it's completely fair to judge everything on one game, and, you know, I at least like how he explained it today.
Yeah, I get that, and maybe you're right. The overall attitude is more important than one half, but don't you think he went to bed that night just hating the fact that not only did they lose, and he, you know, after all the work they put in, as he said, you hate to lose, but he must have been wondering if that compromised his chances for this job that he wanted.
Yeah, and I think he was asked that today too, and said, "Well, you're going to have to ask the general managers about that."
Right.
But Pace did talk about that. That it was something that Pace admitted he had mixed emotions as he was watching that game, because he was in his hotel room Saturday night watching this game on TV, knowing he was going to be interviewing Nagy, and he admitted that he had mixed emotions watching this, because it couldn't have felt good for him, knowing that this was one of his top priorities as the guy he wanted to hire. But obviously Nagy aced the interview the next day when he explained and answers those questions.
Adam Hogue's on the phone line. We didn't drill down, as I could hear on that press conference, about why didn't he run more running plays in that game. We don't have an answer to that, do we, per se?
Well, I don't think he didn't really go into specifics on why he handled it the way he did. I know Andy Reid, the Chiefs head coach, kind of talked about that the defenses were dictating a little bit what they do. You know, every team in football these days have what they call run-pass options, and the quarterback's at the line of scrimmage and, you know, reading the defense and deciding whether or not they're going to run the ball or pass the ball in that moment. And I think that there's some times in games where the coach just needs to override that and say, hey, look, matter what, we're running the ball, even into an eight-man box.
He said, Adam, at the press conference, he was asked point blank, will you be calling all the plays? And he said, yes, absolutely, or something that unequivocal.
Yep.
Is that the way it usually goes? Does the head coach usually call all the plays?
Well, it depends. I mean, certainly in today's football, most of these head coaches that are offensive-driven especially these ones that are getting paired with a quarterback the way that Matt Nagy is with Mitch Trubisky, they do call the plays. We had this with Mark Trestman here in Chicago a few years ago, and I think it brings up fair questions. For a guy who's never coached, never been a head coach before, never handled clock management, when to challenge a play, all these things. There's a lot that happens within a football game, situational football, as coaches like to call it. To add on play calling responsibilities, it's going to be a huge test. And we're going to be watching that closely, obviously, next season when the games come around, because he's going to be doing all this for the first time. And it's, when it comes to play calling, he's only done this for six games so far. So he's going to be pretty green when it comes to both of these parts, and he's going to have a lot on his plate.
Maybe next year is going to be a little deja vu all over again, in that this year we saw a quarterback learn on the job. Mm-hmm. Next year we're going to see a head coach kind of learn on the job. And hopefully, let's end it on this. If I were optimistic, I'd say we'd see as much progress with the head coach as we saw with the quarterback. Were you pleased with the place that Trubisky was in at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think overall I saw more good than bad. I would have liked to see more good than I did. Mm-hmm. That being said, the situation he was in with injuries across the offensive line late in the year, really at no point having any wide receivers, no. I think there are enough fair excuses on the table to say, all right, if you work all that out and he takes a huge step forward in the offseason, it should look better. But I think we're all in agreement that we need to see a significant jump forward early next season.
Hey, I'm a big fan, Adam. You sound great whenever I hear you, certainly on weekends and other times during the week as well. Thanks for jumping in with us today.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that.
That's Adam Hoge. He covers the Bears for us.